from Hollywood, Romance. Transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, the story of a homecoming and of memories, as adapted by Francis Van Hartisfelt from a short story by Ted Pittenger. We star Vic Perrin in Avery's Inheritance.
Riggs?
Yep.
I'm Avery Childers.
Gates right in front of you. Come on through.
How are you, Mr. Riggs?
About the same.
Your bank hasn't changed. You remember me?
Yep. Avery Childers. Seth, if you're mind to.
Thanks.
Your missus come with you?
Oh, I'm not married, Mr. Riggs.
You're here about your uncle's place, I reckon.
That's right.
Your place, I should say. The way the will had it, 40 acres, a house, a barn, several small buildings, and certain riparian rights. Wasn't a great amount of cash.
A farmhouse, small and neat and white beside the country road. A tall pine tree in the front yard. It would have grown how much taller in all the years between. To the left of the house, fields where a boy could get lost in marvelous green tunnels, rows of sweet corn. To the right, the apple and the pear trees. They'd be green again now in the late spring warmth. And there was the lane, surfaced with broken clamshells, dazzling white. It led to the softly dappled sunlight of the woodlot, descended a gentle slope to the ice pond, the ice house, and the river below the farm. All remembered from boyhood.
It took quite a while to search you out, Avery.
I was away a while. Europe and Korea.
No great harm done. The farm is waiting for you. You'll be putting it up for sale, I reckon.
Sell it? Not on your life, sir. I plan to live there, work it. Maybe not as extensively as Uncle Don did, but enough to keep myself going.
Yeah? Yeah. I heard you wrote books.
Well, my first one's finally published. I figure the farm to help support me while I try to write some more.
Yeah, seems like a book should bring in quite a sum of money.
First ones don't. Not very often, anyway. Even if you're lucky, you still wait for the royalties. But I like to write, and sometimes I even think I have something to say.
I don't buy books. The missus takes from the library if she's a mind to read.
Sure. I'm awfully anxious to see the farm, Mr. Riggs. I've been picturing it again all the way from New York.
Hope you won't be disappointed. Your car parked outside?
Well, I came up on the train to Boston, then the bus.
Oh.
Well, there's not much use for a car in New York.
If you need one, Harvey Swanson sells them. That is, if you care to trade in Carver.
Well, of course I'm going to trade in Carver. I'm going to live here. I'm even going to keep what money I have in your bank.
Yep. And if you want, I'll run you out there in my car. The bank's supposed to close at 3.
Oh, I wouldn't want to put you to all that trouble, Mr. Riggs.
No trouble. Heading out that way to pick up eggs at the Perrys, anyhow. Can go now if you're ready.
Weren't the Perrys the ones who used to sell sawdust to Uncle Don for the ice house?
Yep. Cal and his boys still cut what wood's to be cut. His missus takes care of the eggs.
Well, what about the Robies? Doug was my best friend when I lived here before.
Bought the farm the other side of his parents' place. Married the eldest Keeley girl, Margaret.
Doug and I used to hunt rabbits in the woodlot and pick berries together. Uncle Don would pay us 15 cents an hour to wrestle those 100-pound cakes out of the ice house in the summer.
And that's plenty for youngsters. Too much, probably, considering the times.
The ice house. The immense old ice house, so wonderfully cool in summertime. Cakes of clear pond ice stacked tier upon tier on layers of sawdust, climbed high as a cathedral. And the sunlight had to pry its way in between the darkened sidings. It was a place to dream the dreams of boyhood. A place place to plan the things boys want to happen sometime, in an hour or a month or in 10 years. In a cool, dark ice house, you didn't know what was going to be real or which dreams were only happy, carefree fancy.
It's Ruby trying the left side of the Stanford line, and Childers is up there again to spill him hard for no gain.
Anytime, boy.
Ruby's through there like you were paper. He's down to the 20-yard line, the 10, the 5, and over for another touchdown, making the score Dartmouth 65, Stanford nothing.
No, Doug. You've got it mixed up with when Dartmouth's playing the Wellesley Scrubs.
What do you want to go to Stanford for anyhow, Abe?
Who wouldn't? I'll be practically in Hollywood. Ginger Rogers, Hedy Lamarr, Wendy Berry.
Fat chance you'd have with Hedy Lamarr. And Stanford's not in Hollywood either.
No, but the guys go there for weekends, probably.
Avery!
Your kid sister again. Douse the cigarette.
Avery! Doug! You in here?
Tell her we aren't.
No, we aren't, Blondie. We're out picking blueberries.
Probably should be. Hi.
Hi, Angela.
Long time no see.
Oh, at least an hour.
What do you want, Squirt?
Avery's uncle says when you finish your cigarette, will you please dump a couple more cakes of ice down the chute?
What do you mean, when we finish our cigarettes?
Don't be naive, Doug. Oh, gee, it's cool and nice in here.
I suppose you'll tell Pa and Ma.
Why should I? They know you smoke. What were you talking about, Avery?
Oh, college and different things.
I haven't decided about college yet. If I teach school, I'll probably go. If I decide to get married, maybe I won't.
Who'd marry you?
Any boy I made up my mind to marry, I think.
You'll have to grow up first, Blondie.
I'll be 14 next March.
Why don't you scram?
What are you going to do about the ice?
Wrestle out a couple of cakes if you'll get that skinny carcass out of the way.
I wish winter was here again, don't you, Avery?
What's the matter with this?
I hate to see this wonderful ice all cut in chunks and just waiting to melt in somebody's darn old icebox. It was so nice skating on it.
That's right. You're trying to learn how to skate, aren't you?
I'll beat you and Doug this winter, I'll bet.
As much chance of that as there is of us getting in a war.
Yes, there's an awful lot of talk that there'll be a war.
Pa says not now. Now that old Chamberlain got things settled with old Hitler.
If there is a war, you'd both have to go, probably.
Sure. The Army can always use engineers.
Even the kind they turn out at Stanford?
Even the kind they turn out at Dartmouth.
Anyway, if you do go, you'll both come back. But neither one of you will be an engineer.
What makes you think so?
You wouldn't be any good at it. You'll be a farmer like Pa.
Har, har, har. A farmer.
Well, what am I going to be, Blondie?
I haven't got that quite figured out yet, Avery. You aren't terribly good at doing anything, but you think a lot. Maybe someday you'll write poetry. Or even books.
Imagine old Abe sitting still long enough to write a book.
You can both sit awfully still when you're supposed to be working. Say, do you want me to show you how to get those cakes of ice to the chute with about half...
What happened to Doug Roby's little sister, Mr. Riggs?
Angela? She's around.
Well, who'd she marry?
Nobody. Teaches school in Brockton winter times. Old maid.
Angela? I thought the fellas would be fighting over her when she grew up. She was pretty.
Yeah, she's pretty enough. Maybe she thinks she's too smart for the boys in Carver.
She was a bright kid, all right.
Yep.
One time she showed Doug and me how to rig the block and tackle in the ice house so we could swing the cakes right over to the chute without carrying them. Does the ice house still look the same?
Your uncle tore it down. 1946.
What?
Nobody buys ice anymore. Electric ice boxes.
Sure, but the place won't be the same without the ice house.
The whole place has changed considerable, Avery.
Well, the house is still there, isn't it?
Yep. It's there.
And the wood lot, and the cornfield, and the berry patch, and the orchard? When the pond will be the same. The pond can't have changed. The ice pond was drained each spring, and all summer long in the bed of the pond there grew a kind of fern that loved the sunlight there. In the autumn, before the first frost, the boy's uncle skidded a two-horse plow down the clamshell lane and turned the ferns under. The boy followed the plow, and when it was done, he opened a sluice gate and let in the river. He waited for the pond to freeze, and it was always safe for ice skating before the river was. On the river, winds often blew so hard that skating was no fun, but the pond was protected by tall oaks and elms. You went out at night sometimes when the moon was like white gold, and winter's air hung almost without motion. A whisper hanging just above the pond.
Hey, keen, Doug.
Ruby is Olympic material, no doubt about it.
Watch this free skating figure I'm working out. Gangway, Goldilocks.
Golly, watch where you're going, Avery. You practically amputated my toe.
How was that? Sensational?
It was pretty good.
You'd just about qualify for the awkward squad at Dartmouth, Ave.
Stay doubles with me, Avery.
Don't bother us, kid. You promised to stay out of our hair if we let you come.
Please, Avery.
Well, okay. Boy, women can sure be brats when they're 13. You're doing fine, Angela.
I'm good since I got my new skates.
Yep, slick.
I was good last winter, too. Only didn't skate with me enough to find out.
You were too young.
I know it. When are we going to race?
When you grow up some more.
I'm sorry you're moving to California, Avery.
I am too, kinda. I'll be back someday, after I finish college.
You will?
Sure. Keep in practice and we'll have the race then.
It's nice out here, isn't it?
Just about perfect.
Much nicer than afternoons when all the noisy little kids are around.
Yeah, this is the best. Skating in the moonlight is the best.
We'll return to romance in just a moment. $1 that's worth fully as much as it ever was is the dollar named Johnny, insurance investigator extraordinary, a bloodhound in pursuit of criminals, a Don Juan in pursuit of women, and the author of the most imaginative expense accounts in the world of private item. Johnny Dollar's adventures are loaded with excitement and fun, and you find them every weekday evening on most of these stations when CBS Radio presents yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And now for the second act of Romance.
Boyhood's memories, now just a little farther on along a country road. A farmhouse snug and warm, a tall pine tree, fields and an orchard where the green was flecked with reds and russet golds. A barn, a white path, whiter in the sun. A river where the turtles lived. A sheltered pond that winter's frost turned to a sheet of icy blue. Silver blades and flying golden hair. Memories, just a little farther on.
Never skated any myself.
You don't know what you've missed, Mr. Riggs.
Too busy earning a living. Well, we're coming to it, Avery.
Oh, boy.
Hope you won't be too disappointed.
Well, why would I be disappointed? I remember every single thing about the place and... Oh.
House needs paint.
Sure does.
More than 4 years since your uncle passed on, you know.
The weeds. How could they grow so high?
Ain't been kept after. Now you know where the saying come from, grows like a weed.
But look how the front steps are sagging. That eaves trough hanging loose. I sure wish there'd been some way to have kept it up a little.
My hands were tied, Avery. Your uncle didn't leave too much hard cash. Taxes had to come out every year and the executor's fee.
Well, I understand
that. I couldn't spend money for upkeep. Without the owner's permission, the owner being you.
I know, Mr. Riggs. It's just... Well, if it had only been rented to someone...
Couldn't do that either. Suppose we'd located you sooner. For instance, if you hadn't gone to Korea. You might have wanted to occupy it. You might not have wanted it leased to somebody else.
Uncle Don always kept the place so spick and span.
My hands were tied, Avery.
It's all right. Well... Let's go in.
I gotta scoot along and pick up the eggs. I can stop back for you in 10 minutes.
No. No, I had planned to stay here tonight. And I wanted to go over to see Doug Roby. Thanks anyway.
Perfectly well.
And thanks for the lift out.
You'll be stopping by the bank in a day or two, I reckon. I got to sign the property over to you legally. And you spoke about making a deposit.
Yeah, I guess I'll be in. Looks like there's some things to figure out now. But I'll let you know.
Whenever you're ready, Avery. Maybe you'll want to sell, after all.
How could he just let it... Well, big pine tree's still beautiful. Even in that forest of weeds. Two loose boards. One rotten one. Guess some oil would fix that. Smells like mold, dust. Plaster off the ceiling. Roof must leak like a stove-in submarine. Yeah. Maybe if I let the place air out for a while. Path's nice and white anyway. Pond will be the same. Ferns will be growing in it. The barn. How can it sag like that without falling all the way down?
Avery? Long time no see.
Angela. You're Angela.
Uh-huh.
But you... Well, I should have realized you'd be grown up, I guess.
I couldn't help it. It's been 15 years.
I didn't get back quite as soon as I said I would.
No. The war?
Two of them.
You got to finish school.
Finally. And to work a while, advertising. I didn't set the industry on fire.
I read your book, Avery. I liked it very much.
I'm glad you did. You know, you called the turn when we were kids, Angela. You called it on both Doug and me.
I was a horrible brat, tagging you around like I did.
You weren't so horrible. If you were, you sure outgrew it.
You're going to write more, aren't you?
I was. I quit the job in New York, and I was going to sort of live off the farm while I tried to put down some other ideas. Now, I don't know just what to do.
I'm sorry. Doug's talked to Mr. Riggs about the place a number of times, and so have I, but he said that...
I know. His hands were tied. Doggone New Englanders.
It isn't all because of New England, Avery. There'd be Mr. Riggs's everywhere, wouldn't there?
I guess you're right. I was going to take a look at the pond, Angela. Do you have time?
Lots of it.
The house is a shambles. Must be a huge leak somewhere around the chimney. You can count the laths in the ceiling. The paneling's all warped and stained.
Oh, if I'd only known. Will it be hard to repair?
I'd have to learn a lot of skills the Army and college didn't teach me. Radar won't help much, or medieval French literature. No wonder Riggs suggested I sell.
We'll talk to someone. Doug will know someone. The orchard isn't in bad shape, Avery. Trees need pruning, but I think you'll get quite a few fall pears and apples.
But it's overgrown. Mullen, brambles, skunk cabbage.
Pa could get the Whigs out with that tractor he has in a day or two.
I couldn't ask him to do that.
He's been dying to do it without telling Mr. Riggs. You ought to see him scoot around in his tractor. He loves it.
Well, say, those cedars.
Aren't they nice? Your uncle put them in when he took the ice house down.
Oh, Riggs told me about the ice house. I almost wanted to cry.
I did cry a little. But some things have to change, Avery. The cedars are ready for first cutting, and there's real market for wood. The Perrys could buy and cut and mill them, except they never have any cash, it shows.
They never did. They always seem to get along, though.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but is it a problem right now with you two?
Well, sort of. I have 1,000 or so, and maybe there's a few hundred left in the estate, but with all that needs to be done here and eating and trying to get something written... If I stayed, I'd have to look for some sort of job, I guess.
But you'd run out of hours. Be neglecting either the farm or your next book.
I'd probably put off the writing until other things got done.
Avery,
Doug can more than handle the land he has. He's tried to lease what your uncle used to have in corn and truck crops. And it still isn't too late to plan.
I can't barge in after 15 years and start asking favors of old friends.
You'd be doing Doug the favor. Really, you would.
Well, nothing's happened to the oaks and the elms around the pond, anyway. Except they're even taller.
The same birds nest in them, too. Well, at least their great-great-great-grandchildren do. The thrushes, the vireos, the tanagers.
The pond. It's just like it always was in summer.
I know. The weeds tried to take it over, too, but I wouldn't let them.
You wouldn't let them?
I could work down here without anyone seeing me.
Why? Why did you do it?
I wanted to keep it the way we remembered it.
Look, if I gave the Perrys whatever wood they wanted from the stand of cedars, would they possibly clear the jungle out of the front yard and do a little painting as part of the bargain?
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Let's go over and talk to them about it. And when we come back, we'll open the sluice and let the river in.
Oh, it'll be like old times to have the pond filled again. You know, have you thought about fish farming? Raising trout for the market in the pond? Well,
I hadn't, but I don't see why not. But I'd thought of something else, Angela.
What was it?
I thought of skating in the moonlight. Skating is best in the moonlight.
I knew you'd remember, Avery. Somehow, I just knew.
Romance is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Today's story was written by Ted Pittenger and adapted by Francis Van Hartisveld. Mr. Vic Perrin starred as Avery Childers. Others in the cast were Howard McNear, Don Bender, Ralph Reed, Joyce McCluskey, and Sam Edwards. Music supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Coverley, inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. Got money to burn? Well, neither has Uncle Sam. The nation cannot afford to let precious timber go up in smoke. As an American, you cannot afford to let a carelessly tossed cigarette butt start a forest fire that may cost millions of dollars and may even cost human life. Make certain that cigarettes and matches are fully extinguished. Never leave a campsite without making sure your campfire is really out. Stay tuned for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately on most of these same stations.